So a child was sitting in math class one day, and their desk was next to the window. And during the lesson, a beautiful songbird landed on a tree branch just outside and began to sing. And the song was so enchanting that the child soon became totally absorbed in the music. That is, until the teacher's voice snapped them out of their reverie. "Pay attention," shouted the teacher. Lost in the beautiful bird song, the child had completely forgotten that they were in math class. But they had been paying attention. They were giving their full, undivided attention to that bird. It was the teacher who was distracting them from the beauty of the bird's song. Everyone wants to tell us what's important, the things to which we should be giving our attention and time and effort. We're bombarded all day long with people trying to get us to act and think in certain ways, from advertisers to politicians to even preachers. Our culture tells us that getting ahead is what's important. In other words, accumulating fame and power and wealth. And parents tell their children that family or education or maybe a good job is important. Or sometimes they'll tell us that getting married and having grandchildren is important. Friends, religious leaders, bosses, whoever it may be, we all have opinions and we're all often willing to share them. For some of us, that's even kind of our job. Now, if I were talking to that child in the story, I wouldn't advise them to blow off their math class. I happen to love math. It was my major in college. But sometimes paying attention to the songbird is the right choice. Sometimes that's exactly what we need. Maybe that is where our passion is. Or maybe just in that moment, it's where we encounter the divine, where we find God, where we find our healing and wholeness. Ultimately, when we ask ourselves, out of all of the voices that are telling us what to do and what to think, when we ask ourselves, to whom should we listen? I think we have to look inward. We need to ask not so much, who are other people telling me to be? What are they telling me to do? Although that can sometimes be helpful input. But I think especially as we mature and have more life experience, it becomes more a matter of, who am I? Who am I in my core being? Who has God created me to become? What does it mean to be my true, authentic self in the world? We need to look inward and hear what God is whispering to us through the Spirit. And as usual, that probably sounds easier than it is. We also have to figure out, when we look inside of ourselves, is that voice that we hear our damaged and broken ego speaking? Or is it really the Holy Spirit? And to learn to discern the difference between those voices is a process of becoming. It's part of our spiritual journey to learn to let go of self-centered ego and follow the Spirit within in order to become the authentic selves that God intends us to be. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of being reborn in the Spirit. Our self-centered ego dies and is reborn into something more expansive, into an awareness that not only are we loved, holy, and worthy beings, but we are intimately connected to God, to our neighbors, to creation itself. We are one part, but an important part of a grand whole. And that process of death and rebirth of ego doesn't happen just once, But many times on the spiritual journey, as we draw closer to God, it's really a never-ending process. And of course, looking inward to the Spirit doesn't mean we ignore external voices either. We might also want to ask ourselves, what is the message of those external voices, of course? Are they messages of love? That's one thing I come back to all the time is, are they compatible with what Jesus is telling us? Love your neighbor. But we do need to listen to each other as well, to share our wisdom and experiences so that we can learn from each other. And that too helps us discern and grow together. And of course, you can hear what I have to say and think about it, and maybe something resonates with you. Maybe Spirit speaks to you through these words. Or maybe Spirit says something, but we're not quite ready to hear it today. And that's okay too. Or maybe I'm just off today and spouting a bunch of hooey. And in that case, you can safely come back next week. But I'm trusting God that that isn't the case. At least I hope not. But that ultimately, it's up for you to decide. Or we can talk about it. That's why we do the after sermon reflections. So we can talk about it. So we can learn from each other. We can share our wisdom. In his letter, the Apostle Peter advises us to be wary of what the world is telling us. He says, never be spiteful, deceitful, hypocritical, envious, or critical of each other. But instead, seek the word that is like the milk of salvation, the word that'll heal and help us grow. And for Peter, that means looking to Christ, who came teaching love and compassion, helping those in need, healing the sick. It's the love of Christ revealed in his teaching and his ministry, but rejected by the world, rejected because it would upset the balance of power. It is the love of Christ that is the milk of salvation. It is the love of Christ that is the cornerstone upon which the kingdom of God is built. And it's the kingdom of God where we can grow into our true, authentic, and whole selves, where we become the people God intends us to become. And if we listen to the Spirit, that's where the Spirit is going to try to lead us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus himself declares that he is the way to God, that he is the truth and life, and that he's preparing a place for his followers. Now, the disciples misunderstand, and they think he's going to some geographical location where they can get up and follow along. And they ask, well, how do we get there? But Jesus' response makes it clear that he's talking metaphorically about the kingdom, a way of life, a state of being. And we often understand this passage in John to be about heaven, you know, life after death. But I think it's much more than that. Our place in the kingdom that Jesus has prepared for us is ready here and now in this lifetime. I think it also extends past this life into eternity. I believe in that promise. But I think Jesus means for us to live in the kingdom today. Jesus is inviting us to live as he lived, to follow the way, to be truth and life as he was. Jesus prepared a place for us that we can claim right now in this world. And he gave the entirety of his life showing us that way, teaching us, setting an example for us through a ministry of healing and love. And when he was killed for it, it wasn't enough to stop the power of God's love. And that is where our place is prepared, in the power of resurrection and new life. In the power of knowing that no matter how bad things might seem, love wins over evil in the end. Now, John also quotes Jesus as saying, no one comes to God but through me. And as we talked about last week, we should probably be cautious with statements like that that sound very exclusionary. There is no claim here that we have to believe certain things about Jesus in order to find God. That's something that Christians have tacked on in their own interpretations. Jesus says he is the way because he is truth and life. I think it's really truth and life that is necessary for finding God. There are other ways we might find truth and life. Jesus is one way. Jesus is truth, the revelation of who we are meant to be, who we can become. Jesus reveals the truth that we are all God's children, created in love, created from love. And Jesus is life, the revelation of the abundant life that God desires for us, a life of joy and love, of peace and belonging, even in the midst of our darkest times. To follow the way of Jesus, of truth and life, is to enter into the kingdom of God, to take the place of new life that Jesus said he prepared for us. And it means to become our whole selves, people who have realized our authentic self, the self that's built on that foundation of love, the living stone that's been rejected by the world, but embraced by God. It means living an abundant life, a life of accepting people, of helping people, of loving people. And it's because Jesus is God's gift of love to the world, because he is truth and life, that Jesus goes on to further claim that he is in God and God is in him, that they are one. And if we put our trust in Christ, in those truths, then Jesus says, we will do the works that he does and more. And we will realize that we too are one with God. Jesus is not only one with God, but reveals our oneness with the holy. And also, therefore, our oneness with each other. Even in all of our wonderful diversity, we are in the divine presence. And the divine presence is within us. And being one with God and each other, we are profoundly connected by spirit. We're interdependent in ways that we probably can't even realize. Connected through that foundation of love from which God created us. But God also created us each to be a unique expression of that love. To complement each other and not replicate or duplicate each other. We shouldn't expect other people to think or act like us. We each have different skills and passions, and learning what those are is also part of our spiritual journey of becoming our whole selves. Maybe our passion is math. Maybe it's listening to birds sing. Maybe it's both. Figuring all that out is part of the abundant life journey that Spirit will guide us on when we look within to become that authentic whole self. We really just need to listen to the Spirit, to follow Spirit, to live, to try. To take risks, to be vulnerable, to forget what the world tells us is proper and what we should do. I think if it isn't harming anyone, if it's compatible with that loving, authentic core, then listen to the Spirit and give it a try. That loving core is what connects us with the universe, with God, with creation, with each other. And that's essential. But then we also have to open ourselves up to let that love flow upward as well, to flow through our unique selves and into the world. Because there's a lot of people in this world that are not in touch with their authentic loving self. And when we let our love bubble up and flow out of us, we become a people, as Peter puts it, called out of the darkness and into the wonderful divine light. We become witnesses to the light, to God's love and kingdom way. We not only ourselves draw closer to God by walking this way of truth and life, but we also draw the world closer to healing and wholeness. As we know the love of God in Jesus on this path to becoming whole, may those that we encounter also see the love of God in us, in our words, in our actions, in our lives. And may they find healing as well. Amen.